Welcome to another edition of Let's Talk History, a podcast produced in collaboration with WUKY and the Lexington History Museum. Now, here's your hosts, Lexington History Museum Executive Director Mandy Higgins and WUKY's own Alan Lytle.
Welcome back to Let's Talk History, the official podcast of the Lexington History Museum. I'm Alan Lytle, and she's Mandy Higgins. How's it going, Mandy?
It's good. It's I can't believe we're in August.
I can't either. I swear the summer, just like that, it just disappeared.
I think I said this the last time, but I felt like May took a million years, and now it's August, and the kids are going back to school, and we're all in our, like, get ready for fall mode, which is, there's really exciting things happening. So I don't want to downplay that. But I also am like, can we go to the pool a few more times before this happens?
Yeah, because the days are still, you know, kind of long. I know Somerset is now before 9 p.m., but it's still, you know, there's still a lot of days left here to enjoy on the calendar, as it were, as far as summer is concerned. Although, yeah, as you mentioned, the kids will be going back to school pretty darn quick.
Yeah, it is. As a historian and someone who gets to tell all of these stories, I think a lot about time and the way that we interact with time. And, you know, it's kind of silly to complain about all of this, but it's also like, it's happening. Like, we're all moving forward and we're all dealing with this. And I think about that a lot with you mentioned the sunset and the to take a contemporary moment and make it historical.
One of the things she does best, folks. Absolutely.
You know, time wasn't always standard. Mm. And we're in a moment where we're thinking about daylight savings time and what that might mean. And so I've spent the last couple of weeks thinking about the fight in Lexington for standard time, which happened in the early 20th century. And the Woman's Club of Central Kentucky was very involved in it. And so before we adopted standard time, we used God's time or, you know, the sun, basically.
Yeah.
So nothing was standardized. So we all experienced time a little bit different. And the time through the sun, quote unquote, I'm making my fingers are
air
moving.
Air quotes. Yes.
Was 15 minutes slower than what we adopted as standard time.
How did that happen? I mean, how did we gain or lose 15 minutes?
I mean, great question. Not a scientist, but all of this comes back to the railroads and trade. And so standard time was set based on the prime meridian and then moving off of it. But as we think, as the country is considering doing away with standard time and adopting daylight savings time as the official time, all I keep thinking about is like, no, we're all experiencing this just a little bit different. And when we read these historical documents or we rely on it happened at this time, that is what that one person is experiencing. But that could have been 15 minutes before or 15 minutes after.
Who knows? It could be approximately.
Yes.
And that's a great little catch-all word there. Approximately.
Yes.
In the 2 o'clock hour, approximately on the 15th, you know, or something like that.
It's all a construct, which is a very favorite word of historians. And a great segue into what we're most excited about for August.
Let's get into it. The Back to Lex Future edition, correct?
Yes, Back to Lex Future. So, as you know and love Back to the Future movies, you know that time matters.
Oh, it does.
Right? We got to dial in.
And it's relative, too.
And it is very So, the History Museum is launching our first signature event this August 29th at the old Fayette County Courthouse, which was our home. So we are returning to our former home to celebrate all that we've achieved with the museum over the last few years and to set us on the path to do really incredible things in the future. We are beyond excited.
Oh, yeah. It has dominated our meetings for the last, 6 months or so,
yes.
I'd say. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
It is by far the thing we are looking forward to achieve in 2026. Saturday night, August 29th, at the old Fayette County Courthouse, you can come celebrate Back to Lex Future. with us.
Yes, and we're talking about specific experiences of specific eras, correct?
That is correct. So we are using the movies as sort of a template, an inspiration.
Springboard,
if you will. Yeah. But really focusing on Lexington. So think about, you know, in the movie, Michael J. Fox returns to 1955 to get his parents together. Well, 1955 Lexington was home to a very different city than we experience today. This is before IBM. This is before the city-county merger, before New Circle Road. We just had a little bit of the Beltline, and that was it.
Parkette?
Did we have the Parkette? We had the start of the Parkette, which... As an aside, also contemporary and historical, did you know that the Parkette and KFC founder Harlan Sanders were in a legal battle in the 1970s?
I didn't, but I'm going to guess it's over the selling of chicken.
It was. And who can have Kentucky Fried Chicken? Anyway, that's a fun story we can talk about another time.
Oh, cool.
But... Yes, the Parkette. So back to 1955. When you come hang out with us on August 29th, one era that you will be able to experience is 1955. We will have backdrops and exciting pieces from the Parkette. So imagine a drive-in eating your box of fried chicken.
Or a po' boy.
Mm-hmm. I was talking about the po' boy the other day. Just the best. I miss it.
Time out. We're gonna stop and we're gonna get some lunch and then come back with this podcast.
Also, for listeners who are newer to Lexington, and that includes somebody like me who's been here for 25 years, Lexington used to have an amusement park, Joyland Amusement Park, on the north side up Paris Pike. Was in our operation from the 20s till it burnt down in the mid-1960s. But of course, it was that traditional, very arcadey, not arcade thing. We'll get to the arcade with the buttons and the
oh, yeah, Nintendo. That's in the 80s. Oh, yeah.
But arcades, think of it as like more like a permanent fair. So we'll have a couple of fair games that will inspire Joyland.
Am I thinking like maybe like Ring Toss or something like that?
Yeah, Ring Toss.
Win a prize.
Win a little prize. Have a little fun. And a very traditional 50s game of a coin toss that I've become newly obsessed with.
Oh, really?
So think about in your brain. You're in the 1950s. You're going to this traditional fair amusement park kind of place. And, of course, you're paying in coins because it's a time when things are not. They were expensive at the time, but to us, it's like, oh, 10 cents, that's nothing.
Right. Probably a nickel for a phone call at a phone booth, perhaps.
Right, maybe.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, in the museum, our 1950s meter takes pennies. They don't even exist anymore.
They're not making them anymore
is a new thing. So you're at the fair, and there's a game where you can throw coins, typically pennies, onto a table, and the goal is to get it within a box. And if you do so, then you're winning. Okay, so it's a flat table, cut into squares like a checkerboard or something like that. You have to get the full coin into a box.
Oh.
So it can't, like a bullseye.
Okay, sure. Yeah. Almost like tic-tac-toe in a way, right?
Yeah,
it has a little square, and you got to get it in that square, fully in that square.
That's
correct?
Okay. Yeah, I sprung upon this because I was thinking about toss-across, which technically, I mean, obviously tic-tac-toe has existed since, like, the Romans.
Right.
but the idea of toss-across didn't, as a game that you would throw it, was not until the 60s, and that led me back to these other games. So Joyland had a piece like this. We're not going to ask you to throw your coins because honestly, who carries coins these days? Very few people. My grandpa.
Do you want to use your debit card? That's, you know,
yeah,
that's
if
up
you'd
to
like
you.
To throw your debit card, please write your PIN on it as well. We'll have little, you know, disc thing to try and play. But it'll be a fun like agility piece. And of course, we acknowledge and are very aware that the experiences of Joyland were not always equal, as much as for some folks, that was a very nostalgic, exciting place. It was also, Lexington was segregated at this point in time and in history. And so we are not immune to knowing that. You'll also have a chance to sort of think about and be a part of what Lexington was like and what we've gained and what we've lost since that moment in 1955. Once you've experienced that,
some more fun and games.
Yes, you can move to the 1985 era, which will be Alan's specialty. So you can come hang out with Alan in 1985.
Just look for a guy. Never mind. I want my costume to be a surprise folks. Yeah,
we need to circle back to the costumes in a minute, Alan.
Yeah.
So in 1985, Lexington is now moving into the late 20th century. We're starting to really be that technological hub that we've grown into in the 21st century. We're starting, RUP is built. We're a much more modern city than you would have been experiencing in 1955. We're also, of course, in America. So we're experiencing all of the great things in the United States that the 80s brought us, particularly an import from Japan.
Oh, yes.
Pac-Man. So on a large screen, a large monitor, we will have a chance for two players at a time to beat Pac-Man using a retrofitted Nintendo. So the old...
The joystick,
not quite a joystick, but the old controller,
right,
with like two keys and the not the bar, though that's an idea. You will be able to play Pac-Man, which will be so fun. We've talked about this before, but I have an 11-year-old daughter who likes games, and we have a Switch at home or whatever. So I got it out for her to try, and she struggled. And it was a really interesting moment of like, oh, you think it's the same, right? Like, we're just updating Nintendo games or whatever, but it's a whole different tactile experience with the older controllers. So that was really fun to watch, and I'm so excited to see how some of us who grew up with these if our muscle memory can bring it back and do well. In that era, you'll also be able, or zone, we'll have a more traditional photo booth with traditional 80s sort of props around it.
Oh, yeah. So, get your 80s on, because it's going to be there.
Cassette tapes and neon. Yep. And maybe we can find a WUKY 80s logo and print it out.
There's probably something like that around here. And I'm just thinking back to like the mullets. Mm-hmm. There were lots of mullets around in 1985.
Absolutely. And one of my... probably told the story on this podcast before, but one of the other things I love to talk about in the 80s is basketball, because I love to talk about basketball all the time. Like, if you see me, let's talk about basketball.
Yeah, it's on.
So in 1985, UK was the host, Rupp Arena, but UK was the host of the Final Four. So, think about that. Maybe there'll be some UK experiences there, some basketball experiences. And the best piece of this, do you know why you can drink on Sunday in Fayette County?
Open container law?
No. Oops.
No. Why?
So obviously you could imbibe water at any time you want, but to have a spirit in Fayette County on Sundays, it was because of this NCAA tournament. We changed the statute, the ordinance, to allow to purchase on Sunday because...
In Lexington. Oh, wow.
The person who told me this was involved in getting the ordinance changed. So this is a quote. It may not actually be the truth. Just want to put that out there.
Anecdotally.
This is an anecdotal story you know, historians can figure out later. But this person said the NCAA came and said, well, what am I supposed to do with these fans on Sundays? The games are on Saturday and Monday. If they can't drink, we can't have this here. And that led to the council taking up the ordinance and thinking about, so now you can purchase on Sundays and drink on Sundays.
Well, we say thank you, council.
Right. So,
for those who imbibe.
For those who imbibe in 1985, when you have your drink at Back to Lex Future, think about that. And the importance of basketball in this town and the way that it shapes it. So, having a great time in 1985. The other zone is actually a future thinking. And so this is different for a history museum to be thinking about the future, but that's why history matters, is because it's informing us where we've been so we can do better as we're going forward.
Yes.
So the third zone is 2045.
Put on your thinking caps on this one.
Yeah. So what we want to see in 2045, what we want you to bring with you, is an idea of what you hope for Lexington in the next 20 years. So if you were to wake up tomorrow and it was August 30th, 2045, what do you hope you might see? Is it high-speed rail? Is it a return of something like Joyland? Is it
flying cars?
Is it the University of Kentucky men's basketball team is a 20-year in a row NCAA champion? Mark, get on that.
Well, how about something from the football team? That would be good, too.
Oh, yeah. Will Stein, winningest coach in Kentucky football history. You know, maybe we go to the NCAA, what's that called?
The college FBS football playoff.
There we go. Something about, you know, maybe Kenny Brooks wins the women's national championship with his players. Obviously, they would actually do the winning.
Yes. Georgia Amore's daughter will play on this team.
Ooh, wow.
Maybe. Perhaps.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Perhaps. We'll see. Anyway, maybe it's sports. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's something that we're not. But we'll have what we're calling a dream board. So you'll have a chance to share that with us, to think about what the future of Lexington might look like and what would excite us about Lexington in 2045. And then, of course, everyone's favorite 360 photo booth opportunity to, you know, look in the future and think about it and then have a picture of yourself. So when you wake up in 2045, you can remember what you were doing in 2026.
That's right.
All of this is part of an experience that Community Trust is making possible for us through a passport. So
the Community Trust Passport.
Community Trust Bank, as you go through these various eras and complete these activities, you'll get a stamp, and then you'll have a chance to drop that into a basket, and we'll pull a winner at the end of the event who will win one of two special prizes, either that Pac-Man game, the Nintendo Pac-Man.
The one that everyone's going to be playing that night,
Or a DeLorean Lego set, as well as membership to the museum and a gift card and some other things that are part of that package.
Fabulous.
The other prize, and the thing that I'm sort of excited to see how the city embraces, we are encouraging you to choose your era and come decked out in that costume. So, do you love Marty McFly? Do you have a puffer vest? Put it on. We'd love to see in it. Are you like me, who's like, God, I really wish I could wear 50s dresses all the time. That is a really good silhouette. Maybe you want to dress like Under the Sea or the 1955 era.
Biff.
I'd love to see a Biff or two. Let's get those white shirts and, you know, the Outsiders, whatever it is that's inspiring you. And then, of course, maybe you are on the cutting edge of fashion and you want to show us what 2045 might look like. Is that a lot of tin? Is it reflective? Is it denim? I don't know.
And none of us do.
Embrace that.
So it's going to be like style points. If you're going to dress for 2045, there are no wrong answers here.
That is correct. I mean,
there might be some in 2045, yes. But we're in 2026. So.
That's right.
Yeah.
And that also, the best dressed, the costume winners will receive one of those two prizes as well. We're really excited about that. We're excited to include Red Mile, our presenting sponsor, in that activity. So thank you to Red Mile for making all of that possible. It, of course, this is both fun and history for the full evening. So not only do you get to have all these activities and have fun, we'll have a DJ moving us.
Music will be playing throughout the night. Yes, absolutely.
And from all three eras. Now, of course, for the, we don't actually know what the future of music is, but think like EDM and techno and really sort of fun and
futuristic.
There we go. music moving us back and forth through the eras, encouraging folks to dance and have a good time. Your ticket for the evening includes a couple of drink tickets as well as some light hors d'oeuvres for the evening.
What kind of munchies are we going to be talking about here?
We have a grazing table.
Ooh.
So think, you know, charcuteries and desserts and I promise no gelatin. As much as I know a 1950s home would always have gelatin, I can't bring that upon you.
There's always room for Jell-O.
Yeah, but I don't know. Have you looked at some of those recipes?
Jell-O mold.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
No thanks. Yep. I'm not going to put your beer cheese in a Jell-O mold, friends. I promise.
But it will be fun.
But it will be fun.
Yeah.
So you'll have a chance. There'll be some food. There'll be drink. There'll be joyousness. And then the kicker here, maybe the most exciting thing beyond that we'll all be together and doing this, is we do have a couple, four experiences that we are auctioning tied to how we're viewing, how we've brought this all together. So there are four auction experiences that will open for bidding on August 10th. You'll be able to see them on our website, which we'll give you in a minute. But let's talk a little bit about those for a second.
Right. I mean, there are some incredible packages that have been put together through our sponsors and some of our board members as well.
Yeah. So we, there are the first is A Day at the Races with Rhoda Ferrero, who is a friend of the pod. And
she's been on twice.
Two-time member of the pod, as well as a Lexington History Museum board member and is the director of the Keeneland Library. So you spend the morning with her on the 90th anniversary of racing at Keeneland.
And that's
the
something.
Day
yeah.
That Keeneland will be celebrating their 90th. Get a tour of the library, some behind the scenes, and then club level access for A Day at the Races with food and drink. That package is really one of a kind because you're getting a tour from the director of the library and spending that day on that 90th day of racing, 90th year of racing, which is incredible.
Full immersion in the history of Keeneland.
Yes.
And think about that.
Yeah. I mean, once in a lifetime chance. Related. And as exciting, we have a Breeders' Cup package.
Oh, yeah. That's coming soon, too.
Yeah. So if you can't make it out to the 90th anniversary day, maybe you're looking for tickets to the Breeders' Cup. I got a secret for you. You're not going to find them.
No. I think they're all long gone.
They're long gone. Yeah. But we have two.
Yeah.
A two-day package to the Breeders' Cup, covered reserved seating, VIP entrance, as well as a package of Breeders' Cup memorabilia, clothing, a bag. This is a really exciting experience. And again, can't really get them. So, you know, why not make a bid for the museum, help support the future of Lexington's history, and enjoy the Breeders' Cup.
Win, win, win. Everybody wins.
Yes.
Here.
We want you there.
Yep.
Third, we have a really cool experience that I'm very excited about, thanks to the Bluegrass Airport. The airport, of course, is going through major changes. It is something to think about for the future. Maybe what you want is direct flights all over the country. Maybe that's what you're going to say.
Sure.
In 2045.
Lexington to Paris. Think about
that.
Oh,
you know, wouldn't that be the dream?
Or Madrid. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I'll settle for like LA at this point.
Oh,
but
okay. Yeah.
You know, we can go to Denver. Bluegrass Airport has put together a really cool package, a chance for a sunset flight for three around Fayette County, a 90-minute behind-the-scenes tour of the airport that also includes some thoughts about what the future is going to look like and how the airport's changing, a $75 gift card to the Mousetrap so you can have a picnic on the airport's grounds with the Mousetrap's just incredible Minto cheese.
Watch those planes land and take off. That's
exactly.
Great.
Exactly. Yeah. And truly one of the most beautiful spots in Fayette County. And then their book, The History of the Bluegrass Airport, which is beautiful. It's signed. It's a really lovely piece. So that's a very cool, you know, I've never been behind the scenes at the airport. How cool.
Yeah.
And a sunset flight. There's no better time to see Fayette County than like when you get to fly in at the golden hour.
So signature, you know, just like, oh, yes, I see. We're about to land at Bluegrass.
We're home.
Yeah, we're just about home here.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a friend from graduate school who is from Iowa, and he came to Lexington for the first time on a sunset flight, landed and said, but I don't understand why it's so green and there's no corn.
It's all in the perspective.
Oh, friend, welcome to horse country. You just had the most beautiful view and you're thinking about corn? We got some things to teach you.
Mm-hmm.
He understands now.
Yeah.
And then our last package is for all of you bourbon lovers out there.
Oh, yeah.
A tour for eight at Buffalo Trace Distillery, VIP experience with an award-winning BT tour guide, an upgraded tasting, the chance to sort of really experience all of the cool things that Buffalo Trace does in a really intimate setting. And as you bourbon lovers know, it's not always easy to get yourself on a Buffalo Trace tour these days.
It's a nice long waiting list you gotta sometimes have to navigate.
Yes,
that's for sure. Yeah,
good for them. It's going well. So this would be a really great opportunity for that sort of intimate experience at the oldest continuously operating distillery in Kentucky, just on the road in Frankfort. We'll let them think that they're Fayette County. It's great.
Mm. Fayette County adjacent.
Fayette County adjacent. There they do great work, and it'll be a really fun.
This will include Bourbon Pompeii?
Yes, it should include Bourbon Pompeii, which is incredible.
Yeah.
A chance to hear about some of their experimental work and the gardens and the grounds, which are gorgeous. And then, you know, that's home to some of the leading bourbons in the world, and maybe they'll be available for purchase that day, depending on when you go and how that's set up. But it's a tour for eight.
So wow. So that is the fourth experience we're talking about here. Four incredible packages.
Yeah. Past and present of Central Kentucky. We've got, you know, Buffalo Trace is the oldest continuously operating with all the way to the future of the airport. The Breeders' Cup founded in Lexington in the 1980s. Thank you, Mr. Gaines. And Keeneland, of course, is both the past, the present, and the future.
Right. And 90 years of racing.
90 years
there.
Of racing at that
space.
Wow,
incredible.
So these are really, really special experiences that we hope will excite folks to bid and all of that, all of your those proceeds support our mission and what we do at the museum.
These are signature experiences from a signature outfit, and it's a signature event that the Lexington History Museum is bringing to you.
Yes, we are so excited. So we've spent all this time telling you all this cool stuff, and now you're like, but you haven't told me how to buy these tickets.
Right,
what do I do?
Right, yes. Yeah.
So,
you got to have a ticket.
You got to have a ticket.
And that passport, too. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So your ticket includes the passport, your two drink tickets, food, a night of fun. We forgot to mention one thing, but first, where do you get your tickets? Your ticket, you can go to lexhistory.org for all the information about purchasing tickets. Tickets will be on sale through the week of August 29th, unless we sell out. So maybe get them now.
It'd be a good idea to get those early. Yeah. And that way you can make your plans and know exactly what you need to do and where you need to be and all of that kind of stuff. I am not the kind of person that likes last minute plans.
Yes.
I'm a planner.
Same.
It's so make those plans now.
Yes. Buy those tickets now. And when you enter on the short street side of the old courthouse.
Oh, I think I know where you're going with this one. Yeah.
Something very special and very related to Back to the Future. You will see and have the opportunity to look around, potentially sit in, no promises, but definitely take a picture with a mint DeLorean.
An honest to goodness DeLorean motor car.
Yes. It will be on site thanks to a friend and the work of Kelly Johns in securing this from Stablemate Creative. So if nothing else, a DeLorean. Like, how cool is that?
Yeah.
And a Central Kentucky DeLorean. So again, bringing all of these themes together to do good work for the museum and to have a good time. I'm really excited about just how much fun it's going to be. You know, we've talked about this, as Alan said, for months, but we really wanted to bring something fun to Central Kentucky, something that reflects what we're doing in the museum, so we can be serious and we can tell really important stories, but we also are fun and whimsical and tell some of the things that make us who we are, that bring people in and get them excited. And this is an example of that. The work that we can do and the fun that we can have.
Creating positive vibes for Lexington, for the history of Lexington and the future of Lexington History Museum. We have some big plans too. And the money raised through this is going to fuel those big plans.
That's right. That's exactly right. So every penny, find all those pennies while you still can. Every piece helps support our mission to make it possible to tell all of Lexington's histories and to do so in ways that are thoughtful and that help preserve the past, making it available for our future so that, when Georgia Amor's daughter, if she has one, comes and plays for whoever comes after Kenny Brooks, they will be able to see the legacy of what that means and what Kentucky basketball means, that it's not just men in 1985. It's men and women across many decades and all of those things.
Yeah, and Lexington just finished with its 250th anniversary. We're in the middle of the United States' 250th anniversary. Obviously, we're looking toward the future of the next 250 years as well.
Yes, absolutely. And while I joke with the mayor a lot about not being here for the 300th, Mayor, you and I both know we worked really hard on the 250. Someone else is going to have to take this 300, setting this foundation so that it can be easy at 300 and 350 and 400 and 450 and 500 really matters. It matters to who we are as a community and who we have the chance to be.
All right. So we have put together one whale of a night. And lexhistory.org is the place to go for the tickets. The tickets are $100 per person.
$100 per person. If you are a museum member, there is a discount. Please reach out to me at Mandy, Mandy.Higgins, Higgins, at lexhistory.com. And I'll make sure you get that code so you can have that discount. Again, every penny helps us do more history and tell more of Lexington's past so that we can continue to operate in Lexington's future.
And it's all where we first began, down at the old courthouse.
Yeah. So we kind of glossed over that, didn't we?
Yeah.
As many of you know, the museum opened in 2002 in the old courthouse space. So we will be on the third floor of the old courthouse, which today is called Limestone Hall, but then was the Lexington History Museum. Beautiful, gorgeous renovation of the space. It is perfect to be going back home. And I don't know that I've ever told this on this podcast, but it was in those rooms at the old courthouse where I had my first experience as a public historian.
Really? No, I want to hear this story.
Yeah. So when I was an undergrad, I interned for the museum in 2006 for the first director of the museum, Ed Houlihan, and learned how to catalog and learned how to make an exhibit. And I did that with a bunch of many of our political buttons and the memorabilia related to politics in Fayette County. But it was there that I started to really understand the power of public history and of doing this for the public in those rooms, in that space. So it's going to be really a nice full circle moment to come back to that, to celebrate the museum and where we've been and where we're going, and to honor how that those changes in the museum make what happened, what's at the old courthouse now and where we're going possible.
Yeah. All right. To sum it up, it's one night, three different experiences, three different areas in Limestone Hall, 1955, 1985, and 2045. Come in costume for any one of those eras. There's a costume contest. Get your passport book from Community Trust Bank. Get that stamped. And once you've gotten all of the stamps, then you'll be eligible for the big prize here.
That's correct. And all of this is made possible, is presented by the Red Mile.
Yes, thank you, Red
possible.
Mile.
Thank you, Red Mile. And we cannot wait to see you on August 29th from 7 to 10 p.m. Enter on the Short Street side. And, you know, if you have any questions or need any more information, you can reach out to us via email, online, or by phone, 859-440-1582.
Oh, and while we're at it, there is another event coming up on August 5th about Lost Lexington.
Yes, so our second History Happy Hour in partnership with Bites of the Bluegrass at the Willow is August 5th. We'll be discussing some of the places that are no longer with us but have shaped Lexington, the Cross Keys Tavern, which was the first bar and operated until Rubberino was built. We'll do a little bit of Joyland history, the Phoenix, some other things. You can still register for the 7 p.m. sitting.
Six is sold out.
Six is sold out.
How about that, folks?
Yeah. So that'll be at the Willow, 7 p.m. on August 5th. And then look out. There'll be some more. There'll be a Haunted by History in October and a holiday one in December.
Can't wait for that stuff. That's always fun. Yeah. And like everything else that we've been talking about, your main portal, if you will, is lexhistory.org.
That's correct. And, of course, you can come see us in person at the museum Thursdays and Fridays, 12 to 4, and Saturdays, 10 to 4.
And the auction items, they go online for you can start to bid on them starting on August 10th.
August 10th.
Oh, man. Okay, I think that pretty much sums it up. Now it's up to you to join us on August 29th, 7 to 10 p.m., downtown Lexington, Limestone Hall. Mandy, is that just about it?
That is it. Thank you.
Yeah.
For all of this. And we can't wait to see you and celebrate.
Yes. And we will see you very soon on the next edition of Lex Talk History from WUKY.
You've been listening to Lex Talk History, a monthly podcast produced in collaboration with WUKY and the Lexington History Museum. Subscribe to our show wherever you get your podcasts or download Lex Talk History from the podcast page at WUKY.org. And if you haven't done so already, please make plans to visit the Lexington History Museum soon. Get started on your tour at lexhistory.org.